shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Sputnik International and Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt. Something slightly different today. I'm actually going to be the one who's being interviewed, and I'm going to talk to you about what's been going on in that pantomime in the House of Muppets over the last few weeks. I'm delighted that Sputnik International Dan Rowell is going to host the show today. So, over to you, Dan.
Shooting from the lip.
So, of course, John, Emily Thornberry has been ridiculed for speaking last night, admitting that Labour's Brexit policy is to negotiate a new Brexit deal and then campaign to reject it in a second referendum. So what are your thoughts on the state of the Labour Party at the moment, their stance towards Brexit? Are they really the people to sort this mess out?
Well, Corbyn is clearly a chicken because he doesn't want the election, but now Emily Thornberry is acting like a headless chicken. How on earth could she sit on Question Time and say she would go and negotiate our exit or the extension or whatever she's going to talk about and then say she would actually vote against it? The position was ridiculous. Well done to Ian Dale from LBC for pointing that out to her, and of course Richard Tice as well. And then the audience showed what they thought. And you know, the Question Time audience on the BBC is normally biased toward Remain and to the left. They were clearly against Thornberry last night. And she summed up in that one answer why Jeremy Corbyn is so wrong to have done what he's done. He is acting as if he is the Prime Minister. Now, when they introduced the idea of the Fixed Term Parliament Act, I think it was 2011, and it was the coalition between the Lib Dems and the Conservatives, the idea was that no Prime Minister then could just call a snap election just for political means. But what Corbyn is doing by stopping an election, which, by the way, Dan, of course, he's been wanting for the last 2 years. By him doing that, he's actually abusing the Fixed Term Act, as far as I can see, because what he wants to do, along with that fat bloke from the Scottish Nationalists, whose name I can never remember, Ian somebody.
Blackford.
That's the man. I think I do know his name. The reason why they're doing that is they want to rubbish Prime Minister Boris Johnson for the next few weeks. It's nothing to do with the fact he might stitch up a deal. It's everything to do with they want to bring him down in the eyes of the electorate so they've got a better chance. They know at the moment, if there was an election tomorrow, Labour would be decimated and the SNP, as we know, are nowhere near as popular as they used to be, and there is no appetite in Scotland for a second referendum on independence. What they're doing is an affront to democracy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just to expand that a little bit more, do you think that, you know, there is a huge amount of hypocrisy going on here because Boris Johnson's been labelled a dictator over and over again by these lefties? And yet, what are the lefties trying to do? Block Brexit, basically. When they say block no deal, how do you read into this? Do you think, in the greater scheme of things, this actually means keep delaying until Brexit is actually cancelled?
Yeah, of course it does. That's obvious what it is. And to call Boris a dictator, I'm not necessarily that happy about proroguing. I'm not necessarily Boris Johnson's biggest fan. But I'll tell you what a dictator is. He died in Singapore today, the ex-president of Zimbabwe. He is a foul dictator, Mugabe. You cannot possibly call Boris Johnson a dictator. It's ridiculous language. And clearly, this isn't about no deal whatsoever. Although, of course, that was the default position, not in the referendum question, but the question was leave or stay, but the actual default of Article 50, which all of those Muppets in the House of Commons basically voted for, right? Mm-hmm. Including Corbyn. Not only that, Corbyn's manifesto and the Lib Dems' manifesto and the Conservatives was to abide by the wishes of the general public, the voting public. So what this is about, Dan, you know, there's going to be an extension to at least Christmas if Boris is willing to crawl to the EU. I hope he won't, and I hope he does die in the ditch rather than do it, and I hope he breaks the law because it's a law that needs breaking if it becomes law. But it isn't about delay. It's about not having Brexit at all. Summed up by Chukka Amuna. Oh, that man. Does he love himself? If he was made a chocolate he would eat himself, starting with his own head. That man, right, he let the cat out of the bag. He did a photo of him, Joe Swinson, who's now the leader, and Tim Farron, who was the most useless, well, one of the most useless leaders of the Lib Dems. And he said, just about to vote to stop Brexit. It was his own tweet, Dan. They want to stop Brexit. They're the fascists. They are the dictators, not Boris Johnson.
Exactly that. So, and as I said, moving on here to the legal challenge now. So, of course, the legal challenge brought against Prime Minister Boris Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks has been rejected by leading judges. So what do you make of this? And when will the likes of Gina Miller and all their Soros money and things like this stop butting in?
Very good point indeed, because don't forget it was the court, first of all, in Edinburgh, in Scotland, who have rejected it. Now today it's been rejected in the high courts in London, but she's not giving up. They've given her permission, which they often do in these kind of contentious cases. She can now take it to the Supreme Court on the 17th of September. And you're right to ask, when will she give over? The other question, as you kind of hinted at, was who's funding her? You know, is this George Soros? Are there other plans afoot? I mean, it's like Tony Blair. People have started to use this idea that Corbyn cannot accept an election because it's an elephant trap. Well, who said it was an elephant trap 2 days previous to Corbyn using this as a soundbite? Oh, yes, it was Tony Blair, the alleged war criminal. So he should butt out. So should Gina Miller. Look, you've lost. Dummy back in. Off you go. The British people. See, all of this, though, in a way, Dan, doesn't really matter. Because when the inevitable general election comes along, if Johnson unites in some form or way with Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party, they're going to have a landslide, Dan. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this so-called swamp will be drained. Because I think the reason they don't want a general election now, wherever they are on the political spectrum, they know they've betrayed their voters, the majority of their voters. So, and if you look at poll after poll after poll, today, Jeremy Corbyn came fourth in a poll. Admittedly, it was in the Sun newspaper. Boris Johnson is still the preferred person to lead the country with the people. The people want a no deal if necessary, rather than this carrying on. It's not a no deal. That's a myth. It's a World Trade Organization rules. But that's where we are at the moment. And I just wish Gina now would just accept she's lost. But then again, we've had 3 years of this. None of them will accept that the British people did not follow their propaganda pill of Operation Fear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, didn't listen to Barack Obama, did not listen to the governor of the Bank of England, who, by the way, has now said, oh, I don't think things are going to be that bad. Well, there's a surprise. If you're going to live in a proper democracy and you're going to give the vote to the ordinary person in the street, and if they vote against what the government want, you have to suck it up. You have to accept that. Otherwise, what's the point in calling ourselves a democracy? And please, I'm also fed up with people saying, oh, it's only advisory. I go to David Cameron's words. This is a once-in-a-lifetime decision, and we, your government, will do what the people decide. It was clearly meant to end the problem once and for all, because he believed, just like most of the MSM, and I hope we're going to talk about them later, but especially the broadcasters who have been so biased, they wanted and they thought we would vote to remain. We voted to leave. Give the people what they want. Otherwise, we know where this will end up.
Well, exactly. But speaking of scaremongering, before we go on to the mainstream media, what's your take on the whole Irish backstop conundrum? Because we've seen Taoiseach of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, talking today about, once again, the potential for border checks. Do you think all of this is continually being blown out of proportion? Or is there actually some chance that violence could break out in the event of a no-deal Brexit on the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland?
Absolute codswallop. I mean, I've been to Ireland many, many times. I've been to Belfast more times than I've been to the Republic. But the border's not really a border anymore. People cross over all the time, depending on the rate of the pound versus the euro. This is just a confected row. An absolute confected row. And a sort of course, a Varuka, or whatever his name is. He's certainly a pain in the anyway, not necessarily the foot, he has shot himself in the foot, to mix all my metaphors, because most of their trade comes through Britain. He's overplayed his hands. He's been used as a bit of a puppet by the EU superstate. Look, there will be no problem with Ireland. We are not going to return to the troubles. If you've been to Belfast recently, and as I say, I've been there several times doing TV and had fantastic weekends there, because the people of Belfast are now free to go out like they can in every other city in the UK of a weekend on a Friday and a Saturday, young people, and mix and enjoy themselves. It's not like it used to be, as my friend Eamon Holmes tells me often, where people stayed in their own areas or in their own church, youth clubs or whatever. People go out now on the high street, and it's a bit like the Wild West sometimes when you go to Belfast, not because of political violence, just because people have had a bit too much of the black stuff. It's just a modern European city, just like London is, Birmingham is, Coventry, etc., etc. So I just think this is a confected row. I think the Viduca has overplayed his hand. I think the Irish will not be happy when this all kind of runs forward, and we do have the Northern Ireland with us, and we keep the union, because it's so important to keep the union. We're so much stronger together than separate, and this is why I always find it odd when the SNP and Ian, whatever his name is, wants to separate out. They want to leave, him and Nicola Sturgeon, they want to leave our union, but they want to be part of a bigger union called the European Union, and they don't even know what currency they would use. It's just nonsense. The British people, the United Kingdom, voted to leave. You and I shouldn't even be discussing this. By now, we should be out and free. And despite everything that's happening at the moment, I believe we will be.
Well, I hope we are, actually. But again, sorry, back to your point that you mentioned before. What's your take on the mainstream media's analysis of all of these Brexit shenanigans?
The mainstream media, well, I think we need to break it up. The mainstream media, the newspapers particularly, before the referendum, were very biased towards us staying in, almost to a man and a woman, including Rupert Murdoch's papers. Although there is a funny story at the moment about The Sun, where they've got one front page, which is completely different in Scotland than it is to the one down in the rest of the United Kingdom. But when it comes to what's happening now, I think the newspapers have been pretty measured. Some are on the side of Corbyn, some are on the side of Boris Johnson, you know, particularly The Sun, I guess, with the chicken mock-up, which they're famous for doing, that kind of stuff. But it's the broadcast media. This is where the scary stuff is, Dan. Mm-hmm. Because we have this thing called Ofcom, who are and we have this thing called impartial news and balanced news, right? It's a misnomer. There is no bias, no impartial news in Great Britain at the moment. You've got, for example, Channel 4. Now, it's publicly funded. This is what a lot of people don't realise. It's publicly funded, but it is left-wing. It is completely lefty biased. Jon Snow, who I've never seen so many white people, yeah, he personifies it. And they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it, but they do. But now that's crept into the Brexit Broadcasting Corporation, or the bloated Broadcasting Corporation, and basically they're biased as well. It was amazing that last night on Question Time, and you have to wonder why. How come all of a sudden we had a couple of Brexiteers on there? We had Richard Tice and we had Ian Dale. That's almost a first, that you've actually got people who want Brexit on there. So maybe the BBC are learning. But the BBC and then Sky News, which I now call Sly News, they both deliberately are doing their broadcast in front of all those European flags. They don't want us to leave. Well, no wonder, because the BBC gets a massive chunk of funding from the EU. Why aren't Ofcom intervening? The other day, for example, Sky News, don't know if you've seen the story about Lucy, the MEP, Brexit Party mm-hmm. MEP. She was on there with Femi. Oh, by the way.
Oh, not Femi.
Oh, yeah. But who funds him, Dan? That's the big question. Lots of rumours it's Soros. I don't know. But how does he manage to wear those two small T-shirts? Ooh, isn't he handsome? Isn't he muscular? How does he manage to get away with that? What does he do for a living? Who funds him? But anyway, Femi's on there with Lucy Allen. And basically, they're having a debate with Kay Burley. Mm-hmm. And then Kay Burley makes a point, and Lucy says, well, you're biased, aren't you? Under her breath, she says, you voted for Brexit. And then Kay Burley suddenly takes it upon herself to have a go at Lucy and says, you don't know how I voted, which is a statement of truth, because you don't, totally. But she then laid into her. She tried to get Femi to join her. It was bullying. But Femi, give him his due, kind of stepped back from it. He said, oh, have fun. And then Kay Burley said, we're the most trusted news operation in the UK, Ofcom have just declared that. And then she went straight to a break to put this woman down, right? Now, listen, there are many people believe Burley and Sky are biased towards Remain. She goes to the news break. This is the very, very interesting point. She goes to that news break saying that about Ofcom. Actually, Ofcom didn't say that. They said they were the third most trusted. Plus, now it has emerged. There's a tweet from the referendum day where Kay Burley says, it might maybe raining, but it won't melt you. Make sure you vote. And then hashtag I've voted. Now, both those statements can't be true. And, you know, I feel, believe it or not, for Kay Burley, Adam Bolton, Laura on the BBC, because do you know what? It's almost impossible to be impartial in news at any time, particularly at the moment with Brexit, which has divided families, you know, even Boris Johnson and Joe, which maybe we'll come on to. So wouldn't it just be better to get rid of Ofcom and just have it like in America and indeed...
And Ireland.
Ireland, or as it is with our newspapers, where you can decide, I'm going to buy the Sun today, I might buy the Guardian tomorrow. That would be a more level playing field, particularly when you think about, and I'm going to be honest about this, the way Sputnik and RT are attacked by Ofcom, and we're told that because of some of the views we express, that somehow that's wrong. Hold on a minute. Let's have a level playing field. We either allow partiality and not to be totally balanced, or we don't. You can't have different rules for different broadcasting outlets. And that is why, let me tell you, Brexit has not only broken British politics, it's definitely broken British broadcasting. People do not trust the fake news of BBC or the fake news of Sly News anymore. And in a way, that's sad for our democracy. But they'll get it from other places, like Sputnik as well, because it's an alternative voice to that mainstream. Because I really do believe, I mean, Emily, who's a good friend of mine, I worked with her on BBC London for ages and ages, Emily Maitlis, on News Now, she's like Lady Haw-Haw of the European Union. She is. She really is. And, you know, it's not fair. It's not right. There isn't enough of, you know, and if you look at Sly News or the BBC at the moment, where are those alternative voices who come on and say, well, actually, I do want to leave?
And that's the end of part one of Sputnik's Shooting from the Lip with our special guest, John Gaunt. In a couple of moments, we're going to come back. Don't you dare go away.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
This is Shooting from the Lip. You're back with me, Dan Rell, and John Gaunt. So I'm just going to continue a little bit with this lefty media sort of notion here. Why do you think left-wing people seem to take such a pro-EU stance? Because on one hand, you could argue that it was initially a somewhat communist institution, but on the other hand, it's quite oppressive to a lot of workers' rights. So what is your take on this left-wing attitude towards the EU?
Well, let's be absolutely honest. I actually believe the European Union is quite a good idea. And the original idea brought forward, of course, by Winston Churchill, whose grandson, didn't you get fed up this week when they kept on going, I would have even chucked out Winston Churchill's grandson. But it was Winston Churchill's idea. And the idea of working together is a good one. And certainly the idea of a common market was a good one. What's gone wrong is it's become a European Union superstate. And it's been infiltrated completely, like the rest of British society, by cultural Marxists and the common purpose agenda, which nobody's ever voted for. That's what is wrong. And I'm sorry, I'm English, British, and then European. So, you know, I've got friends in Italy. I'm not anti-Europe. I'm anti the EU. I've got friends in Italy. They're proud to be Italian, but they see themselves as Europeans as well. That's the way it should be. There is a need for national borders, but this kind of common purpose cultural Marxist kind of philosophy is to get rid of all that, just like it's to break down the family and that the state will provide. And that is the problem with the European Union. It's not an anti-European stance. It's the fact that we haven't got control, that we can't just say, well, we don't like those politicians, so we're going to vote in a load more. We don't like that law. We want our judges to change that law. We want to control who can come into our great country. I don't see what's wrong with that. And I don't think any of that is racist. But although the EU has protected workers' rights, those rights would have been protected anyway by the British government. I'll give you an example. It's a bit like views on animal welfare. We are millions of miles ahead of many of those European Union countries. But somehow people say, well, we wouldn't have that in place if it wasn't for being in the EU. It's nonsense. It's poppycock. It's rubbish. It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm. And so we've just got some news coming in now that Labour confirms it will not vote on Monday for an early election. So, of course, where do you see this heading? Now, could Boris Johnson actually be forced to resign, perhaps? And say if he did, and the worst-case scenario did sort of come to place, where would this leave the future of Brexit?
OK, I don't think Boris Johnson will resign. It's no surprise to me that Labour now say they're going to vote against the idea of a general election. They will feel the backlash of the British people when they eventually do concede to an election. I now think Boris must stick to his guns and die in a ditch rather than grovel to the EU. He has been humiliated. He now has to stand up and he has to say, OK, I'm going to break the law. I'm not going to do what this Parliament says that I've got to do. I do not believe they're sovereign. I believe the British people are. The British people voted overwhelmingly to leave the EU. I am not going to Brussels on my hands and knees to grovel for an extension. That will then cause a constitutional crisis. Don't forget, he's up in your neck of the woods at the moment, Dan. He's then off to Balmoral to see the Queen. I think there's going to be a very interesting conversation there on Saturday or Sunday. And, you know, I don't want Her Majesty dragged into this. I think it's despicable that she's been so far. But she will now, I think, be dragged in, because you cannot have the losers, right? Losers in a general election, don't forget, and the losers in a referendum, Corbyn. You cannot have him abusing the act that allowed, that stopped PMs rushing to the country. You can't, the Fixed Term Parliament Act, you cannot have him doing that. It's completely wrong. Just because 600 or however many it is, parliamentarians say, no, we're not going to leave on a no deal. That is not what the British people, and we're the masters, they're the servants, we instructed them to get us out. So, yeah, wow, bring it on. It's going to be big, big dynamite next week. I thought we'd had enough drama this week. And also, you know, the way they've acted, playing to the gallery, preening themselves, thinking they're so important. Best summed up, I think, by the mock pantomime Brummy character of Jess Phillips. Ooh, me bab, ooh, me bab. Do you know what? I'm from the Midlands. I went to the University of Birmingham. Some of my best nights out have been in the Black Country. Can I tell you that people in Yardley in Birmingham do not speak like that? They might speak like that in the Black Country, in Walsall and places, but they don't. And it's so, when she's all crack on and, oh, I don't understand parliamentary procedure, she was basically saying all Midlanders are thick. Let me just tell you about Jess Phillips. Jess Phillips was born to parents. Her father was a lecturer. Her mum was a senior manager for the NHS. She's about as middle class as I am Slimmer of the Year. It's absolute cobblers. It's an absolute disgrace. But she was just one of them playing to the gallery. They are the anti-democrats. They are the fascists. And I tell you what now, Boris needs to stand up, because the British people are with him. If he came into some kind of pact with Farage, he will win. He should bring on the major constitutional crisis now and say, no, I am not going to the EU. I am not going to grovel to them. We do not need an extension. If you believe you're right, and I believe I'm right, I'm quite willing to give it to a people's vote. And there is no bigger people's vote in the world than a British general election. Bring it on. Corbyn, you're a chicken. Corbyn, you're a commie. Corbyn, you're foul, what you're doing at the moment. Foul chicken. I'm better than I thought I was. It is totally wrong, Dan. It is totally and utterly wrong. Boris must now stand up for Britain.
And what's your take, of course, of Boris's brother, Joe Johnson, resigning? What sort of loser doesn't back his brother? Eve gets his flesh and blood. Why is he not sticking with him?
I'm not really going to get into this debate, because Joe was interviewed this morning on his way to his constituency office and they were desperate for him to slag off Boris. He said, I support Boris on the whole of his brilliant domestic agenda. He has only fallen out with Boris. It's not a massive fallout. He's fallen out over Brexit. What, of course, Sly News don't want to tell you, or the Brexit Broadcasting Corporation, is that Joe is a Remainer. He always has been a Remainer, just like his sister is a Remainer. His father, and Boris's father, of course, is anti the EU. But he is pro the EU. So he just can't stand what's happened to the 21. He thinks that's over the top. It's a row about Brexit, like is happening the length and breadth of the United Kingdom, Dan. But the media are trying to build that up into something, and it isn't. And Joe this morning basically destroyed that narrative that the mainstream broadcasters are trying to put over, that no, he can't even trust. The Daily Mirror's got a hysterical headline. If his own brother doesn't trust him, how can we? What a load of nonsense. Brexit has divided the country, mainly because the Remainers have refused to take their dummies out and give us losers consent. That's what should have happened, right? And don't get me started on 16-year-olds. I never got a vote, and I don't, it's going to affect me the most, and everybody who didn't vote out is dead. Pathetic specimens. I mean, you know, it proves why we mustn't lower the voting age. If anything, we should increase it to 21.
Well, exactly. Yeah. There's always these ageist arguments getting bandied around with these lefty loonies saying, oh, old people don't know anything. So what the heck does a 16-year-old know? They're just eating sherbet dib dabs after their GCSEs and loads of rubbish like that. But I tell you what, though, I've spoken with Stanley Johnson, the father of Boris, a while ago on Spoonik. And if I was him, I think I'd give Joe and Rachel a bit of a slap, because no offspring of mine will become a Ramona, because that's just, in my opinion, not good. But oh well, each to their own.
But it's family, isn't it? And each to their own. And I can respect people who voted to remain. I haven't got a problem with that. Not a problem whatsoever. But we had a vote. It was the biggest democratic exercise in our whole history. And the result was we wanted to leave, Dan. So that's the end of it. That is, or should have been, the end of it. We've had 3 years of this. But I think Corbyn now has really overplayed his hand, because why wouldn't you have an election if you thought you were right? And, you know, Boris conceded on the whole idea that they can get it through the Lords and, you know, it can become law. I mean, obviously they're worried that Boris will change his mind. But listen, if you have the election in November, Boris could then decide if he's got a majority. See, I confidently predict he'll have a majority if he's with Farage. And it's not just me, other commentators as well. He'll have a majority of over 200, so he'll be able to do whatever the hell he likes. So he could turn this round. But it's not about this, is it? What it's about is they never want us to leave. Some people have been saying it's a bit like Hotel California. You can check in, but you can't check out. No, it's worse than that. It's like Kafka. It's like a Kafka novel, or I think it was Carlsberg, wasn't it? The beer. There was a phone ringing, and the guy goes into every office in this corridor, and there's no one there, and there's no phone. It's the same thing. We can't leave. They are determined. The global elite who really run this country and run the world, they are determined that the United Kingdom will not leave. Just like they were determined there would be no borders, would have open borders, you'd be a fascist or a nationalist became a dirty word. It's just nonsense.
How do you think, say, if Corbyn became Prime Minister, he would address this issue? But, I mean, and would you agree with this lefty stance about, oh, bring them back? Because I certainly don't, but we only have a brief time. But your thoughts on this, please.
No, if Corbyn gets into power, it'll all end in a complete mess, because economically they haven't got a clue. But when it comes to borders, I mean, they'll just let everybody in. So they will let in every Tom, Dick and Jihadi Jack that they can. I mean, I'm simple on this one. If you leave to fight for the enemy, you're a traitor. We should have a proper updated treason law, and you should never come back. And if you do come back, personally, you can swing as far as I'm concerned. But Corbyn won't have that. Corbyn will be letting them all in, aided and abetted by Shammy Chakrabarty. And that is not what the British public want. A Corbyn government won't last longer than about 6 months, but let's not fret about it. It's not actually going to happen. The way this is going to end up, Nigel Farage must be polishing his dancing shoes, because every day the news is better for him. And again, I'm not sure, I don't think the Brexit Party on their own would make a good government, but I think the combination of the two, the support of Trump, the American trade deal, etc., etc., I think this country has got a glorious future. But we've got to get over this nonsense that we've been subjected to for the last couple of years, 3 years. Thank you for listening to another edition of Shooting from the Lip from Sputnik International and me, John Gaunt. Thanks to Dan for his contribution to this show. I think it's been a bit of a firecracker, actually. I'll be back next week with a guest who will be just as forthright as I've been today in expressing their opinions. They will be truly shooting from the lip. So until next week, thanks for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.